Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us for today's Healthline. I'm Courtney Butts, your host for Healthline 3, and Healthline is where we like to focus on ways to live a healthier, happier, and pain-free life. We'll be taking your calls and answering your questions live in the studio today. We'll be opening the phone line soon, but as a reminder, make sure that you are in a quiet room when you call with your TV turned all the way down so that we can hear your question. Our number is 318-219-4569, and today's topic is all about eye health. I'm joined by ophthalmologist Dr. Christopher Shelby and Dr. Weitch Coleman III with Willis-Knighton Eye Institute, some of guest favorite guests here today, and so I'm excited to have you guys talking about the total solar eclipse that we have coming up on April 8th. And we've got some cool glasses if we want to show them off again.
Yeah, and we can model them. We can model them. We can't see a whole lot with them on.
Right.
I can barely see the studio lights, which are pretty bright.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah, yes, that's what you want.
That's the whole point about these. You know, with the total solar eclipse coming through, and totality is going to be just a few miles away from Shreveport. So Texarkana is going to be in the path of totality. And totality starts at about 1:37 Central Standard Time in Texas and extends all the way up through Maine. And so when you're in the path of totality, you know, of course, the entire sun is blocked out by the moon, which is truly an amazing experience. And if you've never seen one, call in sick to work, do whatever you need to do, and travel to see totality because it's amazing. Now, the time before totality and after totality, of course, as the partial eclipse is happening, it's still going to be very, very bright. And the whole time, you want to make sure that you're wearing some ISO-certified solar eclipse glasses.
Right, and you guys have these, right?
We do.
Yeah, and we also have these here at the studio if you wanted to come by. They're available first-come, first-served basis, absolutely free. And come and grab your glasses to make sure you're being safe, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So with the total solar eclipse, how or when should we put on these glasses? You mentioned it starts around 1:37. When should we start putting these on, you know, even before we're looking at the sun? What's your take on that?
If you're going to look at the sun, put the glasses on. Yeah, now, so we, you know, humans have all animals really have a protective mechanism. We can't look at the sun very long. You know, you look at it for like 1 second, you're squinting, closing your eyes. That's an involuntary reflex. So that's what protects you during normal times. But when you get a lot of the sun being blocked by the moon, the brightness is not there, but the UV radiation still is. Mm-hmm. The harmful rays are still getting to your eyes, but the visible light that causes you to squint, turn away, protect yourself is not present. So that's the reason that you have the ability to damage your eyes during a solar eclipse, when at other times you would have a natural reflex not to look at the sun.
Right.
You know, there is a phenomenon called a solar retinopathy that if people are on drugs and they can stare at the sun, and they'll stare at the sun for, you know, a minute or 2 minutes or something like that, they'll have a solar retinopathy. It basically burns a hole in your retina. It's like, sort of like, you know, where you can focus a beam of light, you know, when you're kids, you just like burn a leaf or something with a magnifying glass with the sun. Well, your eye is the same type of system. So it's focusing light that is coming in from a distance down to a fine point, and it's generating heat as a result when you look at the sun. So in the same way that you can burn a leaf with a magnifying glass, your eye is focusing light in a way where it will burn your retina. So the more total the eclipse is, the easier it is to look at the sun for a long period of time and cause permanent damage. So hence the solar eclipse glasses. And we've talked about this a little bit. These are made by American Paper Optics. Dr. Shelby bought 30-something thousand of them directly from American Paper Optics. And it's an American company. There are some scamsters on the internet, so you need to try to make sure you get the real thing.
Right.
And there's probably people trying to manufacture them for a penny and sell them for a few dollars. So we have some available. Come at any of our offices, the Eye Institute, Willis-Knighton North, South, or Pyrmont. I think we've got about 3,000 pairs or so, first come, first serve. You know, if you need a couple extras, we'll give them to you. Probably not going to give out like, you know, 100 to every person that walks in the door. But we have enough that, you know, you can have them and be safe. And it's certainly worth going to see. You know, I saw it in Nashville in, what year was that? What year was the last
one? It was August of 2017.
Boy, that time went by fast. And I went and saw them with my mom. It's actually my mother's birthday, April 8th, which is crazy that that's the day the next solar eclipse is coming.
Oh, yeah.
But it is worth seeing because it gets completely dark in the middle of the day. My kids were very young then, so we're going to go take the day off and go watch this. But make sure you use the glasses. And especially with kids, make sure they have glasses on. And I would say, like, young kids, that you can't keep them from looking up, you better not have them outside.
Yeah,
that's good advice.
Yeah, and to piggyback what Dr. Coleman was saying, you know, it's interesting, he's talking about the magnifying glass, and that's the example I give. And you have to imagine that a magnifying glass is about 10x, you know, so that's the average magnifier. When you look at the focusing power of the eye, your cornea, that front clear part of the eye, is about 44 diopters, and then you have your lens, which focuses light even further. So the total focusing power of the front part of the eye is 60 diopters. That translates into a 16x magnifying glass. So you can imagine how quickly something burns when you're like trying to fry an ant or a leaf or something like that with a 10x magnifier. Going up to 16x, it can cause massive damage. Mm. You know, and that's why it is important, like he was saying, to make sure that you're wearing the glasses during the entire process. Now, when totality happens, you can take the glasses off and you can look at it if you are in totality, but you make sure you only glance at it a little bit at a time. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Kind of like anybody taking pictures, like I do, of the eclipse. You know, you have a solar filter on. When totality happens, you take the solar filter off so you can see it. But it, you know, it's, you can understand why the Aztecs, the Incans, all these ancient civilizations all have a sun god, and they all thought the earth was ending, because it is a dramatic change, like Dr. Coleman was saying, from day to night. The birds go nuts. It is crazy. It's an amazing experience.
Yeah, I'm excited, and we're witnessing history, you know? So, year of the cicadas, year of this total solar eclipse, you know, what's going on in the world?
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing. This is an astronomic phenomenon that's pretty predictable. So, nothing's ending.
I don't know. Maybe the world's ending. I don't know.
Well, I mean, in the world of possibility, it's not zero.
It's not zero.
The odds are, you know, if you're buying Powerball tickets, then, you know, the world's not going to end.
So I have.
We made it through one other one.
Yeah, we did.
But it is pretty bizarre, I'll tell you. You know, I think that if you think about in ancient times, how bizarre it must be when you didn't understand the phenomenon at all of a solar eclipse. And, you know, I'm sure that people looked at the sun then and ended up blind afterwards. And, you know, Nate was asking us at the break, you know, how common is it? Do you really see people who injure their eyes as a result of the solar eclipse? Absolutely. I had a patient walk in. I think Shelby had another one come in that was one day after the last eclipse. And that was just a partial. Mm-hmm. And they had, you know, burned a hole in their retina. And I'm sure that we're going to have a few come in after this when it happens every time. Mm-hmm. It's very predictable. So I would say that it is our public safety announcement to, you know, get the right glasses, and if you look at the sun, wear the glasses the whole time, even during totality, you can still damage your eyes by
just
looking.
Just a couple of seconds.
In just a few seconds.
Yeah. Look up a little bit, and then look down, look up a little bit, look down, and then when it's not in totality, and what's interesting is that when even right before totality, you can have a 5% sliver of the sun exposed, and it is still too bright to look at. And so that's why you want to wear your glasses, and you'll be able to take them off when it gets dark. You'll know it. It's not subtle.
Cool. Well, I'm excited, and I'm learning lots about the way that, you know, our eyes are working in this. So, but when it's in totality, you don't want to look up for more than even a couple of seconds can actually damage the eye. And
for
would
sure.
you call this like a sunburn to your retina? Or similar to
it's,
that?
It's not so much like, you know, the sunburn on your skin. It's mainly just a focusing of the UV radiation.
Similar to the magnifying glass example.
Yeah, correct. Because, you know, you got these, so the way the retina works, everybody's heard of photoreceptors. Photoreceptors are specialized cells in the retina that pick up on certain wavelengths of light. And then those little cells send a signal to what we call a ganglion cell layer, which is actually part of the optic nerve. And so those photoreceptors are incredibly sensitive, and you can burn them very easily. And when you lose a photoreceptor, you don't get it back. So some people can have a solar retinopathy that's really bad initially, and then as things heal, it gets better, but those photoreceptors that they've lost, they never get them back. So they'll always have what we call a scotoma, which is a blank spot in the vision. You know, we all have a natural blind spot, but it's like this blurry circle centrally that never goes away.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was about to ask, is this reversible solar retinopathy, or do people do you lose your sight initially, or do you regain it after? What is that?
It will never be normal again.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, once it's gone, it's gone. And, you know, we did a segment several years ago, gosh, this might have been almost a decade ago now, on a kid that I saw that came into my clinic who had one of these lasers off Amazon. It was like a $10 laser. It's pretty powerful, though. And looked into it for like 1 second. This is someone I'd seen. a year before, they were 20/20 in both eyes, come back 2400 with a spot in the middle. This kid looks into the laser for like 1 second at a friend's house and burns one of his retinas, and they'll never come back. So, you know, be careful with lasers too. Be careful with the solar eclipse. Be careful with lasers, especially with around kids, you know, be careful. And the, you know, the question is always, do welding goggles work? Well, there's a specific ISO welding goggle that would work, but I think that it's simpler just to get the glasses that are designed specifically for the purpose of looking at the sun.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and the other thing about welding goggles, you know, so they have the auto shading ones.
Yeah.
They do not shade when you look at the sun.
Do they not?
No, they don't. Well, I did, and you know, just to, as an example, because I've had a lot of people say, "I'm
great example."
My welding goggles, and I'm like, okay. And when you look at it, you look through the goggles or the hood. And it is dark, but it, the film that they use is different. It's not the ISO that's used for solar film. And these are cheap. They're free, you know. Yeah. And now, if you do have a welding hood that's high quality, you know, whatnot, that's perfectly fine. But I wouldn't recommend staring at it for a long time. But if you have an auto shading one, it is not going
to
work.
Okay, good to know. Yeah, I'm sure, you know, my dad and my grandfather, they're welders, and I'm sure that that's the first thing they would think, well, this would work, you know? Yeah.
There's probably a specific number of the welding hood that is for a specific type of welding, and it's going beyond my pay grade to answer what this is. But that there is one that is the same ISO as this, but it's not the one that people typically use for wire welding and stick welding. I can't remember
it's
the
ISO 12312-2.
There we go.
Let me see if I'm right about
right.
That.
That
was
look at that. ISO 12312-2.
There you go.
Is that when you, and if you go to the ISO.org website, and of course they're what they are, it's an International Society of Standards. It's an organization for standards, and that ISO just means that it is specifically designed for solar viewing. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, when I used to have a solar telescope, which is actually really cool. I mean, the surface of the sun is an amazing thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you can see all the prominences, everything, which is also something you can see when the eclipse happens. You can actually see the prominences in the corona. But that's what these films are designed for, is actually videography, photography, and viewing of the sun itself.
Gotcha. So if someone looks and they have solar retinopathy, is this immediate or does this happen later, the symptoms?
It's just like burning yourself with a lighter, you know?
Okay.
I mean, you look away. Because you glance at the sun, like you're driving, you don't have your sunglasses on, you turn to the sun and you're like, whoa, and you turn away and you see that spot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right, yeah.
The spot just doesn't go away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Just doesn't go away,
basically.
Yeah, and so if somebody comes to you guys after the eclipse, what are some things that you're looking for? Do you look at anything visually, or is it based on the symptoms that they explain? I see a spot and it's not going away.
You can scan the retina and see the burn.
Okay.
Yeah, you can see it on a scan of the retina. It's obvious. It's characteristic.
Gotcha. So this usually only happens around a solar eclipse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well, if you're just joining us, we have Willis Knighton Eye Institute here, Dr. Christopher Shelby and Dr. Weitch Coleman III, and we're talking all about eye health. And actually, I think March is actually like national schedule an appointment with your eye doctor month or something like that. I'm probably butchering the name, but it's something along those lines. So make sure you're getting your eye exams done, and we're talking all about eye health, and maybe we can transition here talking about maybe cataracts, or we talked a lot about the laser surgeries as well last time, which is something that I'm personally interested in. So anything that you guys in particular wanted to hone in on after solar eclipse?
Yeah, you know, we love talking about cataracts.
Yeah, we love talking about cataract surgery. Sure.
Kind of, kind of what we do. You know, cataract is simply a color change of your God-given lens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're born and our lens is crystal clear, like a glass of water. And as we get older, and that process begins immediately, there's changes in the lens, and it begins to turn kind of yellowish-brown, kind of like taking Coca-Cola and slowly pouring that glass of water. And it is like a glacier moving. You know, it's nothing that you suddenly wake up with one day and suddenly you can't see better. It's, you know, you get older and you have glare at nighttime, you have trouble with certain details and dim situations up close, things like that. And so when it gets to that point that the vision and those symptoms cannot be improved with glasses or contact lenses, then it's time to look at having that cataract removed and a new lens placed.
So the biggest risk factor is age.
Birthdays.
Birthdays with cataracts, okay. So, and it impacts you with the glare you mentioned. Any other symptoms that someone would experience with cataracts?
You know, the glare is very common, you know, difficulty driving at night. The other thing is just not seeing as well as you think you should with your best glasses prescription. So, mm-hmm. you know, every now and then you have somebody come to the clinic, they have three or four pairs of glasses, and they're 75 years old, and they say, I don't know why these glasses, I can't get a pair, I need a pair of glasses that works, can't get one. Well, that's not the problem. So, just in general, the vision not being as good as it should be, even with your best glasses prescription. But, you know, we always say if bad vision is not normal or a change in vision is not normal. Mm-hmm. So it may be cataracts, it could be other things. We'd rule out other things before we would do cataract surgery. So that's the reason it's important to get an eye exam. If your vision changes, to define what the cause is and then come up with a solution. And,
right.
You know, most of the advancements in cataract surgery in recent times are advancements related to the refractive outcome, meaning not only removing the cloudy cataract, but also giving someone glasses independence afterwards. So most of our, Dr. Shelby and I's focus is around the process that we use to determine what the best lens implant is to put in someone to give them the maximum level of glasses independence after cataract surgery. How to get them to the point where they are glasses independent and okay. And also have excellent vision again.
Right, yeah, it sounds like a life-changing event that you're helping people get their vision back to where it was, right, with the cataract surgery, and then also the what did you say, the
refractive outcome. You know, perhaps not just getting them where they were, but perhaps getting it better,
right?
For people who've worn glasses their whole life, cataract surgery is the opportunity to get free from glasses.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So take me through the process. Let's say that someone came in and they are wanting cataract surgery. What does that process look like, the surgery itself?
Well, somebody comes in, of course, and we diagnose cataracts, and we put them through extensive testing to measure the eye, and we go over all the different lens options. Because like Dr. Coleman was saying, people have the opportunity to be completely glasses-free. As long as the eye is normal, and other than the cataract, there's nothing else going on, we can get patients seeing distance, intermediate, and up close without glasses. And so once that's scheduled, we do one eye at a time. You know, we never do both eyes same day. That's just a thing.
Okay.
So patients come in, the surgery center is wonderful, all the nurses up there are fantastic. They started an IV, so we can give a little sedation, the eyes dilated, we numb it up really good, we use an ultrasound to gently remove the cataract. Once that cataract is out, a lot of times we'll take another measurement of the eye at the time of surgery to verify lens power, which of course what that does is that improves our predicted outcome, you know, so we can have a perfect result after surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Once we're done, we clean everything up. There's no stitches. The surgery itself takes about 6 to 10 minutes, doesn't take long at all. Most patients actually see better that same day. You know, things are brighter, more colorful, maybe a little foggy or hazy mm-hmm. for a day or two as a pupil comes down, that swelling goes away. And then within the week or a week later, we do the other eye to match them up. But it's painless. Matter of fact, everybody coming in for the first eye is incredibly anxious. They're very nervous, which is understandable. Because like my dad used to say, it's all minor surgery. Unless it's on him, then it's all major surgery. And but for the second eye, everybody's excited. They know it's not going to hurt. It's not a bad procedure. The healing is wonderful. It's the best surgery ever.
Awesome.
Say the guys that do it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. But you know, honestly, we have the best job ever. You know, I mean, people realize they don't see as well as they used to, and then suddenly, mm-hmm. you know, once it's done, you know, like I said, that process is like a glacier moving. It's very slow over time. The results are almost instantaneous, and people are like, my God, this is amazing. And they spend that first week doing this and this because, you know, looking through the eye that has the cataract in it still is like a sepia filter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything's kind of brownish orange, and they look through the one we've done, and it's like blues are blue, whites are white, yellows are yellow. It's amazing.
That's awesome. So what age typically do you start thinking about cataract surgery?
Well, the average age in the U.S. is 69. So, you know, some people get them sooner, some mm-hmm. people get them later. I think I operated on a 93-year-old last week. That's getting to the point where, you know, maybe we should have done a little bit sooner. And every now and then I run to somebody who's 85 or so, and they say, well, you know, I'm seeing okay. I don't know if I want to have cataract surgery. Well, the thing is, once you get into your 90s, it is hard as a rock. So you've taken what would have been a simple surgery a few years before, and you've made it into a complex one.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, you know, no matter how good you see, if you get to your mid-80s, you probably should have cataract surgery. But most people are having symptoms way before that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 69 is average. Sometimes you see a 50-year-old. People who are extremely nearsighted, you know, have a huge prescription greater than a minus 10, they're more likely to need cataract surgery earlier. People who have diabetes, more likely to need cataract surgery mm-hmm. earlier. There's some specific reasons that people have earlier cataracts.
So if someone is going to their routine eye exams, this is something that you would catch earlier on.
For sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most people are referred to us because they go see their eye doctor, their optometrist, and they can no longer get their vision to an acceptable level with glasses or contacts. Mm-hmm. And it's because of cataracts, everything else is good. That's when we see them for the purpose of doing cataract surgery.
Gotcha.
Sometimes we have somebody just come in the office and just say, I don't know why I'm not seeing good, but most of the referrals in our clinic are specifically there for the purpose of getting cataract surgery. They already know they have it and they already know they need it.
Mm-hmm. Is something like this surgery covered by insurance?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's okay. As long as you have visually significant cataracts, which when we do surgery, mm-hmm. obviously you're not coming in because you have great vision. Mm-hmm. Visually significant cataracts are covered by insurance and Medicare.
Gotcha.
And so the procedure itself and the standard lens, those are covered. Once we get into multifocals, torics, the light adjustable lens, when mm-hmm. we get into a situation where you want a certain outcome, that portion of the procedure is not covered, but the vast majority of it is.
Awesome. That's great news. Well, I think we have a caller on the line. Debbie, what is your question?
Yes, I have a question. I've had retinal detachment surgery and bilateral glaucoma, cataract surgery, and I'm just wondering if it can be redone because I'm not seeing very well at all. It saw better before the surgery than I am now.
So, good question. That's sort of a complex question if you've had a previous retinal detachment repair. You know, a previous retinal detachment repair, that's a complex situation. And there can be permanent vision reduction that is not correctable ever, you know, even with a perfectly executed retinal detachment repair. You know, either one of us would be happy to see you in the clinic and say, is there something that can be done to make it better than it is? And the answer without looking and doing an exam is, I'm not sure. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But that for sure is a complex situation. You know, a retinal detachment sometimes leaves you with permanent visual impairment that cannot be corrected.
Thank you, Debbie.
Okay, well, that's a fair answer.
Yeah, sure. And if you'd like to come see us, you know, I'm at Woolsight and South. Dr. Shelby's at North and Piermont. TheCataractSurgeons.com. You can get our contact info there. I'd be glad to take a look and say, is there anything that can be done to make it better?
Yeah.
All righty. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're
Thanks,
welcome.
Debbie, for your question. And they should also say, hey, I called into yeah. Healthline.
For
right?
sure.
And
yes.
say I yeah. talked with them yeah. live. Yeah.
And we'll get you in there as soon
yeah,
as possible.
We prioritize people who call on Healthline. The question about, you know, the things that cost extra with cataract surgery, that is for a singular purpose. That is glasses independence. I tell everybody in clinic, you don't have to spend one extra dollar over what insurance pays to see better after cataract surgery than before. And people commonly say, well, I have a friend who had cataract surgery. They just had a standard vanilla cataract surgery, and they see fine without glasses. They just wear readers. That's certainly true. You know, we studied this in our own practice. 46% of eyes, if you just do a standard vanilla cataract surgery, are going to be 20/20 at distance without glasses. So about half. You know, if you use the laser and you do a refractive process with cataract surgery, take detailed measurements, use the cataract surgery laser, correct any astigmatism that's present, 86% of eyes will be 20/20 without glasses. Mm. So you still don't quite achieve perfection, but you basically double the probability of being 20/20 without glasses.
Yeah.
So that's the purpose in doing that. Is they say, what's the value in spending extra money and doing extra stuff? Well, the purpose is a higher probability of glasses independence. You also run into people who say, well, I have a friend who spent a lot of extra money and they still don't see good. Mm. Well, that's usually somebody who did not have proper screening prior to choosing whatever lens or whatever procedure was going to be done. Almost always, there was a risk factor leading up to that. So a big focus of ours and process improvement in our own practice is to adequately screen someone so you can say, what do you need extra to see better without glasses, if anything? And some people don't anything. Some people have low astigmatism. You can say, you have a very high probability of seeing well mm-hmm. with just a standard cataract surgery. Other people have a huge amount of astigmatism, and you can say, if you don't correct it, there's a 100% chance you'll need glasses.
Right.
So it's really specific to the person and specific to the eye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have another caller on the line. Chris, what is your question?
Yes, hello, how are you? Is there anything new in for his treatment of dry eyes other than the Restasis? And also a second question, is there anything over the counter, any true to things like fish oil helping for dry eyes?
Yeah, that's a great question, Chris, and it's actually a hot area of research right now because, you know, dry eye is kind of a blanket term. And the first good medication we had for it was Restasis, which is just cutting down on surface inflammation. And here's the thing is if you've been on Restasis for a while and you still got dry eyes, it's probably due to something else. And a lot of it comes from the eyelids where the oily layer of your tear film is produced. Tears tend to evaporate rapidly. They tend to dry out pretty quickly. Branded artificial tears like Systane, Refresh, TheraTears, things like that are perfectly fine to use during the day. Warm compresses, we're big fans of that, like in the evenings doing a warm compress, and you can get them where you can put them in the microwave, you can get a washcloth with hot water, you can do hot potatoes, things like that to help to stimulate that tear film and loosen up that those oily secretions. And if you're a CPAP wearer, if you wake up in the morning and your eyes are really, really dry, then you can get some over-the-counter lubricating ointment to put in there before you go to bed at night. I actually do that occasionally, and it works like a charm, you know, because a lot of times we have a little exposure, we got the fan on. CPAP wearers, you're always going to have dry eyes, so if you wear a CPAP, you got to make sure you do this. But that's what I would do to augment initially. And then sometimes when that doesn't work, you know, taking a look to try to figure out exactly what's going on to cause that those dry eye symptoms is a good idea. So over-the-counter tears, lubricating ointment at nighttime, doing those two things I think will dramatically reduce a lot of most people's dry eye symptoms.
Okay, and these eye vitamins or fish oil, that's just a hype?
Oh no, actually fish oil is great. You know, it's got an anti-inflammatory effect and it can help with dry eye symptoms. And here's what I do. You know, we read a lot of stuff and there's a lot of supplements out there that are useful. And I give it 2 weeks because generally after 2 weeks of using any type of supplement, you should have some effect from it. And fish oil, in my opinion, as long as it's high quality, is great stuff. That's actually, we recommend that for our dry eye patients.
Yeah. The Restasis, I didn't want to mislead you. The Restasis is working, but it's just the cumbersome of doing that. I was wondering if there had been any advancements, you know, last 5 years or so.
Yeah, we're still working on it.
Try the lubricants at night. They work like a charm sometimes.
They do.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Chris, for your question.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, so we just have a couple of minutes here. And so if you're just joining us, we have WK Eye Institute, and they are this year's sponsor for the Total Solar Eclipse here at KTBS. We're going to be doing a 3-hour special on April 8th, on Monday, April 8th. And if you didn't know, we are having a total solar eclipse, and we have really fancy, cool eyeglasses that you guys are giving away, and we have them here at KTBS. So remind us why this is important for people that are just joining in.
Good.
Okay. You know, you don't want to stare at the sun because looking at the sun, even for a few seconds, can cause damage to your retina. And if you're not, we are close to the path of totality, but if you're going to be in the Shreveport-Bossier area, you will not see totality. So whenever you look at the eclipse, you will need to wear these glasses. And you'll be able to see a lot of details. It's amazing. Now, you put them on, don't drive with them, things like that. And these, you can get them, like Courtney was saying, from here, KTBS. You can get it from any of our three offices at Wills-Knighton at Portico, Eye Institute South, Eye Institute North.
Yeah, so this is really a historic event, and you don't want to look right at the sun because that can cause damage to your eyes, as we've mentioned here on our Healthline. So if somebody just wanted to come in for a routine eye exam, where can we find you guys? And any phone numbers?
Yeah, the website is thecataractsurgeons.com. My office number is 212-5901. Dr. Shelby is 212-3937 or 212-2020. So we're located whatever's most convenient. He's over at Piermont. I'm at South. He's got a clinic at North also. So whatever's most convenient there, you know, we're available 5 days a week, 8 to 5. Somebody's in the office seeing patients, even when we're in the operating room.
Is 212-2020 purposeful?
Yeah,
sure. Yeah, that's right.
It's easier to remember.
I wish it was my office number, but they already had it.
That's awesome. Well, thank you guys. Always just a wealth of information, and be sure to grab your glasses. Yeah. Well, thanks again for joining us. That's a wrap for our Healthline 3.